Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
I grew up in San Diego, so I didn't have much experience with snow. I'd always wanted to have a traditional white Christmas like in the movies. So when my boyfriend Freddie asked me to go with him to his hometown in Wisconsin, I immediately said yes. I hadn't dated Freddie for very long, so I didn't know if it would last. I really wanted a memorable Christmas though, so I jumped at the chance to join him. We flew there in the middle of December when I could finally take some time off of work. His mom Kathy picked us up at the airport. She was a large, friendly woman, the kind of person you'd expect to see in Wisconsin. She gave me a big hug and made me feel like a member of the family. On the long drive to her house, she asked me all sorts of questions and kept complimenting me on my looks. She said she was so happy that Freddie had finally fallen in love with someone nice, especially after his last relationship had ended so badly. I didn't know much about Freddie's dating history, but I didn't want to pry.
Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing, or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry the Bahamas and USA.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
I could tell from his expression that the topic was making him uncomfortable. Once we arrived, Freddie gave me a grand tour of his house. We walked around the snowy yard, and everything seemed perfect. Then, when we got back inside, Kathy had a huge meal prepared for us. As we ate, she kept asking me more questions about my life. She mentioned a big family reunion they were planning for the summer, assuming that I'd join them. I didn't have the heart to tell her that Freddie and I weren't as serious as she thought. I liked him a lot, but we weren't even exclusive yet. That night, Kathy showed me to the guest room. She told me that it was fine with her if Freddie and I stayed in the same room, but this was her house, so I preferred to sleep separately. I thought that that was the right thing to do, but she seemed almost disappointed when I said it. I didn't go to sleep right away. I was scrolling through my phone when I noticed that Kathy had posted a bunch of photos of me on her Instagram without my permission. I didn't even realize she had taken all those pictures. She added captions like, "future daughter-in-law" and "welcome to the family." It made me really uncomfortable. I promised myself that I'd talk to Freddie in the morning. I figured he could handle his mother better than I could. Eventually, I fell asleep, but that didn't last long. I woke up in the middle of the night to noises just outside my window. I tried to tell myself that there was probably just some animal outside, nothing to worry about. But then, I heard footsteps just outside my window. I got out of bed to take a closer look. The window overlooked the snow-covered yard. I didn't see it at first, but I noticed the footprints in the snow. Someone had walked toward my window. It had been snowing throughout the night, so the footprints were fresh. Who was out there? I got closer to the glass when a woman jumped out of the shadows. She was shivering from the cold, and her face looked desperate.
"Please, Wakichiage, let me in."
I had no idea who this person was, but I couldn't just leave her out in the cold. I slowly opened the window and asked her where she'd come from. She immediately grabbed onto the windowsill and pulled herself into the room. She didn't give me her name, but she said that her boyfriend left her and she didn't know where to go. I assumed she was a neighbor. Without asking for permission, she sat on the bed and wrapped herself up in my blankets. It took a while for her to stop shivering. I explained that this wasn't my house. If she wanted to stay the night, I'd have to go wake up Kathy and tell her. The woman said that I didn't need to. She and Kathy were very close. I should have argued with her, but it was such a strange situation and I was still half asleep. So, I just sat next to her and waited for her to warm herself up. Neither of us said anything for a while until she looked into my eyes and smiled. She asked if I was Freddy's new girlfriend. I nodded.
How do you know him?
She didn't answer me. Instead, she said,
Are you two happy? Do you love each other?
The bluntness of her questioning finally forced me to wake up and realize how weird this all was. A stranger had crawled through my window and started prying into my personal life. In a very direct way, I told her that I could call for someone to come and pick her up. Her smile instantly disappeared. All at once, she glared at me with pure hatred and said,
You don't deserve him.
Then, she grabbed me by the throat and shoved me onto the bed. It happened so fast, I could barely process what was going on. I tried to shove her off me, but she refused to let go.
He's mine.
I prayed that Eddie could hear us from the other room and come to my rescue. He didn't, though. The woman kept squeezing my throat until I almost blacked out. But with my last bit of strength, I punched her in the side of the head. She fell off the bed and I could finally breathe. I watched her jump back up. For a second, it looked like she was going to attack me again. But instead, she screamed obscenities at me and then dove out the window. Before I knew it, she had disappeared into the darkness outside. As I struggled to catch my breath, my bedroom door creaked open and Kathy walked in. She asked me what had happened and I told her that a mad woman had come inside and attacked me. As I was talking, Freddy walked in too. He asked me to describe what the woman looked like. I described her as best I could, and his expression dropped. That's Lacey, my ex-girlfriend, he said. She must have seen the photos Mom took of you. No wonder he never mentioned his ex before. Lacey was a complete psycho. Freddy wrapped me in a hug and told me that I was safe now. Kathy watched us from the side of the room, her face full of concern. Then she said something that I'll never forget.
You'll always have my son to protect you.
It seemed like such a strange thing to say, as if the attack had somehow brought me and Eddie closer together.
I'll leave you two alone,
she said as she left the room. After she was gone, Freddy kept apologizing for what his ex had tried to do. He vowed that no matter what, he'd watch out for me. He'd take care of me. Even though we were still at his mom's house, Freddy and I got into the same bed together. His arms were wrapped around me. I felt very warm and protected. Maybe I was starting to have real feelings for him. I was about to drift off to sleep when I noticed something on the floor just below the window. Lacey had accidentally left her phone behind. I got out of bed to grab it. Freddy asked me what I was doing, so I showed him the phone. Don't look at it! He shouted. He jumped out of the bed and tried to grab the phone from my hand, but I wouldn't let him. I didn't understand why he was acting like that. As he tried to take the phone from me, I turned it on and saw that the screen was already open on a text exchange. Don't read that! He screamed. Too late. I already saw that the texts were from him. He had messaged Lacey an hour before, telling her to check out his mom's Instagram, egging her on and basically challenging her to come over and confront me. I can explain, he said, but he didn't need to explain. I knew exactly what he did. He wanted his psycho ex to come over. He wanted her to scare me, to attack me, just so I could find comfort in his arms. This was all a setup, and it had almost worked. I threw the phone at him and then stormed out of the room. He begged me to stay, but I wouldn't listen. I couldn't even look him in the eyes. I used my own phone to call an Uber, and I got out of there as fast as I could. I never wanted to see him again. And I never did. I went straight to the airport and back to California.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
It was the worst, weirdest trip of my life. But hey, at least I got to see some snow.
Hey, why don't you hit that subscribe button before you move on to the next story?
My name is James. I used to teach English abroad before I got a good job in the States. Last winter, I had some time off and decided to go back to Kazakhstan where I used to work. I wanted to visit some of my old friends and enjoy a snowy December. My ex-coworker Bradley asked me to stay with him in his apartment. I was surprised by the offer. We used to be friends, but we didn't leave on good terms. I'd hooked up with his ex-girlfriend at the time, and he got really mad at me. I thought that I'd ruin our relationship forever, but I guess he'd gotten over it. So I flew to Kazakhstan in the beginning of December. My first week there, I caught up with all my old friends. I went ice skating and shopping. I did karaoke. It was really fun. And honestly, Bradley was a great host. He always cooked for me, and when we went somewhere, he never let me pay. That weekend, Bradley invited me to go hiking in the mountains just outside the city. I'm not a big hiker, but he was pretty insistent. Besides, if I was in Kazakhstan, I might as well enjoy the mountains. I made sure to wear as many layers as possible. Bradley and I left early in the morning while it was still extremely cold. Right away, I realized that something was off about the trip. Bradley kept insisting that we go off the marked path. He said there was a frozen lake that he wanted to show me. He insisted that he knew the way, but I really didn't feel comfortable cutting through such thick, snowy forest. Before I knew it, we were pretty deep in the wilderness, and I had no idea how to get back to the road. Bradley kept walking, though. He knew exactly where he was taking me. At least, he acted like he did. The further we got, the colder I became. I enjoyed it at first, but after a while, I was shivering and miserable. At the beginning of our trip, we passed a lot of other hikers. But as soon as we went off the trail, we didn't see anyone for over an hour. I also noticed that Bradley kept glancing at me and then smirking to himself. He looked pretty devious. Where was he taking me? Eventually, I told Bradley that I'd had enough. I wanted to turn back. He shrugged and said, "Okay." It was like he didn't care about the frozen lake anymore. He said he needed to take a piss, and then we could leave. He walked into the woods, and I stood there, waiting for him to return. He never did. I waited for 5 long minutes before I realized he wasn't coming back. This was his plan all along. He wanted to leave me there, lost and alone. This was his big revenge plan. Angry and a little scared, I followed his footprints through the snow, but then I lost them. He must have covered up his tracks so I couldn't follow. I fished out my phone to call for help, but nothing happened. There was no reception. That was when panic started to set in. I could either climb to the top of the mountain and try to see where the path was, or I could start walking down the mountain and hope that I find someone. I didn't have the energy to continue going up, so I started my long walk down the mountain. For the next hour, I kept walking. My feet kept sinking into the thick snow, and my whole body ached from the cold. I tried to find any sign of Bradley, but I couldn't. Eventually, I started screaming for help. No one could hear me. I don't remember how long I was out there, but it felt like forever. Finally, I reached a familiar creek. I knew I was going the right way. I followed the frozen stream all the way back to the main road. I waited there, barely able to move, until a car came passing by. They weren't going to stop. so I literally had to stand in the middle of the road and force them to let me in. I was so cold, I could barely speak. The driver didn't speak much English, so I really struggled to explain that my friend had abandoned me on the mountain. I don't think he truly understood me, but it didn't matter. He drove me back to the city, and I had him drop me off at Bradley's apartment. I didn't know where else to go, and besides, I needed to finally confront him face to face. I used my spare key and let myself in. I was ready to scream at him. He could have killed me. But when I got inside, I could hear him talking to someone on his phone. He was just explaining what he'd done, really laughing about it. "What an idiot," Bradley said. "I can't believe he followed me all that way. I'm just waiting for him to come back now. He should be here any minute, I think. Serves him right for stealing my girlfriend." Hearing him gloat like that made me even angrier. I couldn't let him get away with this. So, instead of approaching him, I quietly left the apartments and went downstairs to the lobby. Then I called him on my phone and pretended that my connection was bad. He answered right away. "Bradley, you have to help me," I screamed into the phone. "Where are you?" he asked in a fake, worried voice. I pretended to sound terrified, forcing my voice to tremble. "I'm still where you left me. My leg's broken." "What?" he asked. He sounded genuinely concerned, so I knew that my prank was working. I fell into a ravine when I was looking for you," I lied, trying to sound as pitiful as possible. "I'm going to die unless you find me." "Damn it, James," he said. "You're supposed to find your own way back." "I couldn't, Bradley. I'm not as smart as you. And now I'm trapped here. I'm so cold. I can't feel anything." He took a deep breath and then said he was going to call the police to come get me. At that point, I felt like my joke had gone too far. I didn't want to get the police involved in a search for someone who isn't really missing. So I said, "You really do that? You tell the police that you left me alone on the mountain?" He stopped to think. As I expected, he didn't want to get the police involved either. I knew Bradley well enough to know that he wouldn't do anything to make himself look bad. Eventually, he told me to stay where I was. He'd come get me himself. "I can't move, Bradley. Please, hurry," I said. "I'm coming," he shouted into the phone. Then he ended the call. I waited in the lobby for him to rush out. As soon as he would walk out of the elevator, I'd surprise him and tell him that I knew what he did. It would be hilarious, and he'd finally learn not to mess with me. I pictured the look of relief on his face. But he never came out. He lied to me on the phone. He was actually going to let me die in the mountains. After 10 minutes of waiting, I took the elevator up to his apartment. I had no idea what I was going to say to him. When I got back inside, his apartment was empty. I looked all around until I found him smoking on the balcony. At least he seemed guilty. His hands were shaking and he was in deep thought. I quietly walked up to him and shouted, "Hey!" I'd never seen someone look so scared in my life. He jerked backward and started mumbling, You're dead." I knew I looked terrible after trekking through the snow for so long, but I didn't think I looked like a ghost. "Why did you leave me up there?" I asked him. He just kept mumbling, "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." Then he slipped on some of the ice on the balcony. He fell backwards over the railing. It happened so fast, I couldn't stop him. One second he was there, and the next, he was gone. He fell 12 stories to his death. I'm not sure whether he actually thought that I was a ghost out for revenge, or whether it was just a tragic accident. Either way, he was gone. I should have felt guilty over what happened, but deep down, I knew he deserved it. I flew out of Kazakhstan the next day, and I don't think I'll be back. I'm done with cold weather. We were supposed to have a beautiful honeymoon in Aspen, Colorado. My parents' rich friends offered us their cabin so we could save money after spending most of what we had on our wedding. Honestly, it was going to be a nicer honeymoon than either Jorge or I ever dreamed. It was a beautiful little cabin deep in the Rockies.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
It had not one, but 2 hot tubs. One was outside and one was inside. Well, technically, one was a bathtub, but it had jets. So in my book, it was a hot tub. We planned to shack up all week, and during the day, we would enjoy what the mountains had to offer. We were going to ski, go tubing, ice skating, and more. It was going to be so romantic. But of course, it had to be derailed. On our way, a heavy snowstorm rolled in. Never have I seen a blizzard this intense. It was a complete whiteout. We couldn't even see the car in front of us. Jorge was leaning over the steering wheel, squinting his eyes, trying to see the road. Even with our brights on, we couldn't see anything. We had no choice but to pull over and wait for the snow to let up. After 30 minutes, the snow started coming down harder. We decided there was no way we would make it to the cabin, so we needed to find a hotel to stay at. As I started calling around to find a vacancy, I realized we weren't the only ones who needed to stop for the night because of the storm. I'm not super high maintenance, but I have a thing about cockroaches. So, I was desperate to find a place that wasn't a run-down motel. We came to this conclusion much later than most, so we had no choice. The only place we found was a Motel 6 nestled deep in an obscure mountain town. It was about 30 minutes down the road, according to Google Maps, but it took us an hour to get to the hotel. We had to move at a snail's pace so we wouldn't slide off the road. Jorge was relieved when he saw the neon blue Motel 6 sign amidst the white. I was filled with dread. In my experience, motels like this were always infested and gross. What a lovely way to start our honeymoon. We got our room keys and rushed into the room. The door was so light. It felt like reinforced cardboard, not the most secure. The room smelled faintly of pee. We could hear our neighbors on both sides. On the side by the TV, they were yelling at their kids to stop jumping on the bed. And on the other side by the bed, they were having loud, passionate sex. That could be us. I laughed and sat down on the bed. The jolt of my body sitting down stirred a couple roaches, and they ran out from under the bed. I screamed and jumped up on the bed, and more scurried out. I looked at my husband and said, "I'm not sleeping tonight. They're going to be crawling all over us." "I'll protect you," Jorge said with a smile. His soft smile and kind eyes calmed me. I went to use the bathroom, and I found the source of the pee smell. The pink tiles around the toilet and the shower had a yellow residue with dust sticking to them. The mirror was cracked down in the middle. I looked at the shower and wondered if someone had ever been stabbed in there like the movie Psycho. I came out of the shower and told Jorge, "I'm not using that shower either. Something is going to come up the drain." Jorge started to explain how he wasn't thrilled to be there either. "I was thinking," he said, "the storm might let up in a couple hours. I'm happy to drive through the night to get to the cabin so we aren't sandwiched between 2 passionate lovers and a strung-out family. That way, we can really enjoy our honeymoon." He came over to me, grabbed my waist, and pulled me towards him. "That's why I love you." We sat on the bed watching Family Guy for hours, but the storm never let up. It became pretty clear we weren't going anywhere until the morning. Jorge left to pick us up some pizza. While he was gone, I sat in the middle of the bed, holding my knees, anxiously scanning the area around me for bugs. Suddenly, someone tried to open the door. They turned the knob and shook the door. I almost spoke up, but I felt I needed to stay quiet. A silhouette appeared in the window. It was man-shaped. He held his hand to try and look through the window. It looked like he may have had a gun. I texted Jorge to be careful coming in because there appeared to be a man with a gun circling the motel. The man moved on, and soon Jorge was back with our pizza. We ate and then cuddled in the gross bed while watching Family Guy. Both of us succumbed to a light slumber. Around 2 a.m., the man came back. He started shaking the door more aggressively. He was yelling, "Hey, hello, anyone home?" He pounded on the door and the window. Each time his fist came down on the door, it looked like the door was just going to fall over. Jorge turned the light on by reflex, alerting the man that someone was inside. The man started pounding harder until he punched a hole through the door. "Jesus Christ!" Jorge said. He quickly got up, making sure I was behind him. "What do you want? We don't want any trouble." The man shoved his arm through the hole, and he was holding a gun. He fired off a round. Luckily, it didn't hit either of us. "Okay, no need to do that. What do you want?" Jorge repeated himself. "Money! Give me your money!" I took off my wedding ring just in case things got worse. I didn't want to lose it. Jorge went to his wallet and my purse to collect all our cash. The man shoved his head into the hole. His skin was pale and veiny. He had wild hair and eyes. He looked at me and he gave me a creepy smile. Most of his teeth were missing and the remaining ones were rotted yellow. "Hey, pretty lady," he said to me. Jorge turned around and barked at him to leave me alone. The junkie mimicked my husband and went back to staring at me with his unsettling grin. "I could show you a fun night, pretty lady," the junkie told me. "Much more wild than this vanilla piece of shit." Jorge waved a wad of cash at him. "Here, this is what you want, right?" "I kind of want her too." Jorge started to get angry. "You can have the cash. Put the gun down and back up so I can drop the cash outside for you." The junkie bowed away, and Jorge slowly reached his hand out of the door hole to drop the cash. Right when he let go of the money, the junkie fired off another round. The bullet went through the door into Jorge's thigh. "Jorge!" I yelled. Jorge fell to the ground. The junkie let out a weird little laugh and took off. Jorge's leg was bleeding badly, but finally, the snow was beginning to dissipate. I called 911, and we got an ambulance to take us to the nearest hospital. Jorge was okay, but we spent the first half of our honeymoon in the hospital. We still got to spend time in the cozy cabin, but what we could do was limited because of Jorge's injury. We decided at some point down the line to try to go on a honeymoon again. This time, we agreed to go somewhere warm, tropical place that wouldn't be cursed with a blizzard.
I was driving to my parents' house across the state. I hadn't seen them in over a year, so I wanted to get there as quickly as possible. I wasn't planning to stop for anything except gas. But by about 2 p.m, I was starving. I needed to stop and get a quick bite. I pulled into a KFC in the middle of nowhere and parked. I probably should have gone through the drive-thru, but I'd promised my girlfriend that I wouldn't eat in her car, so I had to go inside. The place was weirdly empty, except for an older woman at the front counter. She smiled at me, looking like she hadn't seen a customer in hours. She seemed like a sweet, harmless old lady, very Midwestern. I said hello and ordered a Pepsi and some chicken nuggets. "Back in a sec," she said after she took my money. I guess she was the only one working because she disappeared into the back. I sat for a couple minutes in one of the booths, looking out of the rolling cornfields on the other side of the highway. Storm clouds had just rolled in, and I hoped that I wouldn't have to drive through the rain. Then, someone pulled off the highway and parked in front of the restaurant. At first, I thought it was just a black car, but I quickly realized that it wasn't a car at all. It was a limo. I couldn't believe that an actual limo was driving on the highway, let alone that it decided to park outside a roadside KFC. I watched as a woman in a beautiful wedding dress got out of the driver's seat and walked right into the restaurant. I know I shouldn't have been staring, but it was such a strange image. She looked at me, both because I was the only other person there and because I was staring at her. I could see that she was beautiful, but her face was smeared with mascara. Obviously, she had been crying. She smiled at me and walked straight over. "Can I join you?" she asked. Sure, I said. So many questions were running through my head, but I didn't know what to say without accidentally insulting her. Clearly, she had been through a lot. Had she just been left at the altar? That seemed like the most likely explanation. I'm Tom, I said. She shook my hand. Mandy. We sat for a few seconds in awkward silence until she asked me, Am I hideous? No, I said. She wasn't hideous at all. Despite the smeared makeup and her messy hair, she was genuinely beautiful. You look great. Are you attracted to me? She asked. I was sipping on my Pepsi at the time, and her question made me choke. I started. Because James said he was attracted to me, she continued. But that was a lie. So she had been left at the altar. Poor thing, I thought. You're a very attractive woman, I said. And it wasn't a lie. She definitely was. But I was in a committed relationship. I wasn't going to tell her that I was attracted to her, even though that was probably the answer she wanted to hear. You're so sweet, she said. She reached across the table and grabbed my hand. She was wearing long white gloves, and for the first time, I noticed that they were speckled with red stains. Was that blood? I tried to pull away, but she squeezed my hand hard. Let's run away together, Tom, she said. Just you and me. My heart started to race. I yanked my hand out of her grip and stood up. Thank you, but I really need to be going. I don't want to be driving in this storm. At the exact moment, the worker came out of nowhere and placed a tray of chicken nuggets in front of me. She looked at the bride. Well, don't you look pretty? The lady said. Thank you, but my friend Tom and I were in the middle of a conversation. Please leave. The old lady forced a smile, the kind that most Midwesterns have when they get offended but don't want to say anything. Then she hurried back into the kitchen. I started inching towards the door. She jumped out of her chair. You're leaving me too? She screamed. No, I said. I just need to get to my car. I think I left my hand sanitizer. Let me walk with you, she said. She started following me. I tried to act as casually as possible, even holding the door open for her. But I knew she was deranged. As soon as I'd get to my car, I'd lock the door and drive off. But she grabbed my shoulder and held me in place. Then she looped her arm around mine, like we were walking down the aisle. I'm sure she could feel me trembling. As we passed the limo, I noticed that its front fender was caved in and smeared with blood. This psycho had run someone over. I quickly turned away, but she knew that I had noticed. That was our best man, she explained. That's what was left of him anyway. I caught him kissing James behind the church. She stopped walking. She wanted me to say something. I'm sure he deserved it, I mumbled. He did. And James is in the back. Would you like to see him? She wouldn't let me go. She stared at me, eyes wide open. She didn't blink. I don't think she blinked once since I met her. What could I say? She basically confessed to having a dead body in the back of her limo. This woman was a psychopath, and if I said the wrong thing, she'd attack me too. She was slender, not to mention weighed down by her ornate dress, but I knew she'd been able to overpower me. There was a real rage inside of her. Let's not talk about James, I said. You deserve better than him. That made her smile. Wait here, and I'll get my hand sanitizer. I gently pushed her away and walked as casually as I could to my car. I unlocked the door and slid inside. I tried to close it behind me, but she grabbed the door and held it open. I shoved the key towards the ignition, but the woman punched me in the face. My keys went flying. "You're going to leave me too?" she said. "You're a liar, just like James." She dove through the door, her hair flinging wildly around her face. I'd never seen so much anger in my life. She grabbed me by the throat, but before I could do anything to fight back, I heard a loud bang. Then, the bride froze. Her expression shifted from anger to shock. And before I could figure out what happened, I saw a puddle of red pool in her stomach, soaking into the white wedding dress. As soon as she crumpled to the ground, I could see the old lady standing right behind her. She was holding a shotgun. Thanks, I said. That old lady smiled that same Midwestern smile. "Get back inside, hun," she said. "We need to call the police. And you never got to eat your chicken nuggets."